Welcome to the Futile Podcast. You need to get a hold of us. You can get a hold of us at futilepodcast@gmail.com. You can visit the blog and download the MP3s at graniteseed.com/futilepodcast.
When are we going to get a spotlight?
Spotlight?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh, for like the bat signal.
The bat signal? I'm working on it. We might do that.
What would our symbol be?
You can also search Futile Podcast on iTunes and we'll show up. So that's a good way to get it and subscribe. Tonight, Dirty Harry 2, Magnum Force. 1973, I think. Boom. Okay, cool. Which is what we're reviewing tonight. Our marathon of Dirty Harry Marathon, which is what we're doing now. Dirty Harry January, I think is what I'll call it. We're doing number two, Magnum Force, 2 years later. John Millis came up with a story and co-wrote the screenplay. He did not direct this one. The director is Ted Post. Basically, Callahan's back, and this time he's got to go up against vigilantism. A handful of bicycle cops in the style of Big John from Electric Glide and Blue, same year too, are out trying to do their own thing, and they're killing off. They're rubbing out
pimps,
big deal criminals and pimps, which I guess were big deal criminals in the 70s. Kind of making their own rules.
The fashion was criminal.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. It's fun though.
Yes. They're making their judge, jury, and executioner, and Callahan's the only one that can stop them. So my first impression of this film, I like it. I like it probably more than the first one. I like the music. The one thing I don't like is the opening. The opening is a little tacky. The first movie just starts. The credits are rolling over like the beginning of an investigation. The second movie starts with this red background, and then a hand comes out with a gun. And then it just rolls the credits while the gun is being held there uncomfortably. Because it's a heavy enough gun to hold it like that. You could see the hand shake a little bit for like probably about 2 minutes. Well, the soundtrack is awesome. It's great music. But it's just kind of dumb. And then they start with all this exposition in a courtroom. And this Rika guy just got let off.
In fact, that gun would weigh about 3 pounds.
3 pounds. Yeah, to hold it out from your arm like.
And if it was loaded, 3.5 pounds.
Then, yeah, that's a bit to just sort of hold like that. I would have preferred to see the credits rolling over that courtroom stuff that happens at the beginning. I think that would have been more in step with the first film, rather than throwing this like, hey, everybody, wink, nudge, it's the cop, here's number two with that favorite cop you love, and his big gun. It's like, what? Really? It just seems a little hokey.
Well, I love the music. I talked about last time, but that specific model, I mean, it's iconic now.
I know.
And that specific model, I mean, that's really what made the gun. They really weren't that popular, and they didn't make that many of them until this movie, and then they became tits.
Yeah.
And everybody went out and started buying them, and apparently it was such a big deal, people were put on waiting lists.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt that it was like a popular, fashionable fad of a thing. But for the film, I think it would have been smarter to not have that sequence. I would have preferred it better. The rest of the movie...
Yeah, this movie is a little hokier.
A little bit, yeah. But I don't know, I thought that would have been an easy thing not to do. Anyway, the plot is... I think this one has a pretty solid plot. It's more complicated than the first one. The first one's just a crazy guy that Harry needs to take down. This crazy guy sniping people. This one has got this whole... like subtext about these about vigilantism and his relationship with the lieutenant played by Hal Holbrook, who is all about like, you know, I've never had to even take my weapon out, I've never had to take my gun out of its holster ever. Meanwhile, you, Callahan, are walking around being all heavy handed, and so you're being punished and you're off homicide, you're put on stakeout squad, and every time your gun comes out, it backlogs me on paperwork, you know.
No, that was the captain.
That was the captain telling him that. But still.
And he had one of the first beepers.
Yeah. But was that a beeper?
It was a beeper.
I thought it was like a walkie-talkie because he pulled an antenna out of it, right?
That was a beeper. Was it a walkie-talkie?
It was just a portable walkie-talkie type thing.
Because beepers came out in the 70s. And the only reason I know that is kind of sad, but fucking Sharon Stone in Casino. And I think that was around, supposed to be in the mid-late 70s, that part of the movie.
Okay, well, they probably weren't out in 73. I'm pretty sure that it was just a walkie-talkie. Anyway, this film, you definitely get more characterization for Callahan. You see where he lives, which you never did in the first one. It's just a regular old apartment, but still, it's little details and sort of the way the place is, looks and what. He's got the picture of him with his wife, which you are reminded about, that, you know, oh yeah, his wife was killed by a drunk driver. And then he hits skins with that girl that lives underneath, lives on the bottom floor. Yeah.
Yeah, who gets his key after one fuck.
Well, you don't know how long
and she's going like on. Already out buying him beer and shit. I mean, mm-hmm. What the hell?
Yeah.
We really missed out on that free love. I mean, especially San Francisco, mm-hmm. 1972, 73. It was still swinging.
Crazy, yeah.
Wow.
But,
it was just Pier 54 instead of Studio 54.
Mm-hmm. And you see him with a friend of a fellow cop's wife, who I guess is sort of his ex-wife at that point or something.
Oh, Charlie's wife?
Yeah, Charlie's wife.
Ryan Mitchum?
Who from, also from Electric Glide and Blue. So there's kind of a couple connections there.
Oh, excuse me, Ryan Mitchell.
Mitchell, yeah. Mitchell. And you see Callahan kind of like has this sort of uncle-like relationship with the children of this guy, because they're both fellow cops and they kind of grew up together. They've known each other for 10 years or something, I guess.
Yep. They should have put their 20 in the Marines.
Yep. But nope, they put their 20 in the SFPD.
Well, at least 10.
At least 10. They got a few more. Callahan's telling him he can just, you know, give up, capitulate. And
they kind of noticed that this guy is still a traffic cop.
Yeah.
And he's an inspector, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's a little bitter about that, too.
That's possible. He's ready for the rubber gun squad, though.
He's cracking, yeah.
Yeah, the flow of the plot, it's a longer movie, but it
how long was it?
Doesn't feel much longer. It's a full two.
Two.
A little over two, and the last one was like an hour 40 or something like that, I think. It's
last one was slower.
Yeah. This one has more, it's not as dark. Like, literally, it's not as dark. More stuff is happening in the daytime. There's a car chase in it. I don't think there was a car chase in the first one.
The first movie took itself a lot more seriously than this one did.
That's to a degree, but this one's still pretty.
You don't have dead 14-year-old girls in this one.
No, you don't have
that. You have dead pimps and prostitutes.
That's true. And you have motorcycles.
And dead Suzanne Summers.
You have
probably her first titty scene before the Playboy.
You have the
of course she gets wasted.
Motorcycle right race time, at so. Final sequence in
a whole bunch of cop toe cutters. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. And that was crazy. And like you said, you get what you want from that. You get like him in a car running over somebody because that person is coming after him.
That was so awesome. It's like, yeah, if somebody's chasing after you in a fucking motorcycle and you're driving a big ass full size car, run them over.
And that's what you do.
And that's what Callahan does, because he gets it done.
And blow him up and, you know, just, you know, do your motorcycle tricks and Evel Knievel your
way
to the
top.
He's
more dangerous when he doesn't have his .44.
Yeah, I know. When he karate chopped that guy in the neck like three times to kill him.
Yeah.
No, Callahan has no compunction about the death or any of that. I mean, and you see that when that one cop, in the, earlier on when their stakeout comes to an end, and that one cop's like, I've never killed someone before. And he's like, you know, Callahan just kind of goes, see about that lady, you know, like this.
And I don't think he killed anybody then. He just got shot.
Yeah.
Because he's a douchebag. I'm sorry, but if you're standing there with a shotgun pointed at an armed robber that's already been going around shooting people, and you say, halt, and the guy shoots you, and you just stand there and fall down. He was wearing a bulletproof vest. Yeah. He didn't die or anything.
No,
he's
was
a douchebag.
He was just a little nervous, a little young, a little green.
He didn't look that young to me. I think he had some gray hairs.
No, he was young. He had blondish hair.
He wasn't that young.
I think he looked like a surfer.
Well, then he should get back out on the beach.
Maybe he should. Surf's up.
Like Steve Guttenberg in the beginning of Police Academy 2.
Back to the Beach.
Back to the Beach.
We should do a marathon of those. No,
God.
Yeah.
The first one, I don't give a shit. The first one, I thought was kind of funny.
It probably was. I think I've seen parts of it. I've seen like the fifth one or something like that. I've
that
seen
the one
where they go to Miami. Is that the fourth one?
Yeah.
I've seen the fourth one then.
No, five's Miami, I think.
Okay, then it is the fifth, I think.
It's either the fifth or the sixth.
I think K-Dog was with us one time, and he's like, dude, have you seen these police cats? I'm like, no, I don't really care. He's like, no, the fifth one, it's great, trust me. And so we watched it, and I was like, okay, great. Back to Magnum Force. I liked it. I liked it.
Oh, it's an awesome movie.
With the action was good. And
it's a great afternoon movie, like, you know, afternoon when you just parking your ass on the couch and you want shit to blow up.
The Callahan lines were increased. There was more humor in this, I think.
Yeah, because this movie obviously didn't take itself as seriously as the first one.
Not quite, but it sort of did, even almost more so, because...
And they get like that the farther you go.
I'd imagine so.
Worse and worse.
But the... Like, John Millis is doing what he sort of does, you know, like what he did with, like, Red Dawn and stuff. He's inserting his, like, sort of political
Did he do Red Sonja, too?
Red Sonja? I don't think so.
Didn't he do Conan?
He did the first Conan. He didn't do the Destroyer. He just did the first one.
Barbarian.
I think he just did the first one. Anyway, yeah. But yeah.
Well, wasn't Red Sonja the
third Conan or something?
Yeah.
I don't know who did it though. I don't know who did it. But it was sort of. It was weird. Everyone kept having like issues about like not wanting. They wanted Conan to be such like a protected brand that. Even though they had Arnold Schwarzenegger and he was playing ostensibly Conan, they didn't want to call him Conan. They didn't want to make that the Red Sonja Conan. It was something stupid like
that. Kind of like that last Sean Connery
James Bond movie. Never Say Never Again. Well, that was competing with
Roger Moore
For Your Eyes Only or something. I mean, there was something that was like Broccoli had the rights or something. Somehow they were able to split at one point, and they were able to two different companies were able to independently make Bond movies that were James Bond. And Never Say Never Again, I think, is sort of not considered canon among the other Bonds that are sort of connected, I think. I'm not really sure how it works. Huh?
Hmm?
Yeah, I don't really know. The specifics. I just know that it's the outlier if there were one.
You know, were these movies the inspiration for the Hammer?
Sledgehammer?
Sledgehammer?
The TV show?
The
on
TV
Fox?
Show on Fox.
I don't know. I haven't seen that show in forever, but I'd love to find that on DVD.
I don't think it's on DVD.
God, that'd be great if it were.
You might be able to find some pirated VHS.
Have to find something at some point. I'm going to look. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure, yes. Obviously, these movies have basically created the, you know, sort of serialized cop drama genre stuff. I mean, they beat Lethal Weapon. They beat... whatever else has had sequels, it's cop drama, pseudo. I mean, they beat Naked Gun and all that, which is sort of parody of that. They beat most of the cop TV shows. I mean, there was like Car 54 and stuff like that. But
well, what's beating what? What are you talking about?
Had Callahan.
In
historically, it's like the first stuff like that.
Oh.
I mean, not entirely. I mean, obviously, you're right. We've spoken about...
you're going back to cops and robber shit.
Bullet
and
stuff.
Way back.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, for what it is as being sort of...
You go back to, like, the Old West.
The gritty cop, like, serialized story, you know, kind of thing. And you're right. Yeah, you have, like, the TV shows like Gunsmoke and stuff, which Clint Eastwood was on. I'm trying to think, though. This has five parts, essentially. They're five, not parts necessarily, but there are five
acts.
Callahan movies.
Oh.
And
The Gauntlet.
Well, The Gauntlet isn't really Callahan. But I'm just trying to get at a sense of, is this the first time that kind of franchise has came about, you think?
I
was thinking about it as I was watching it, because...
Franchise? Shit, no.
Because, like... this is before Star Wars by quite a few years, which had three movies. It's before Rocky.
What about
before
the horror films the Warner it's before, Brothers horror.
It's before Jason. It's before Jason
Universal
and all that stuff.
Horror, well,
are you think you're thinking of like Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein?
And then what about all the Jimmy Cagney and Edward G. Robinson?
Those weren't necessarily always the same. You weren't the same character in all those.
No, but you could say it's kind of.
No, I'm not talking about that, because then the gauntlet would apply, because it's like, oh, another Clint Eastwood action cop movie.
Well, what about...
Like, I'm literally saying, when you take the same character and you do sequels with that
Abbott
character...
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, and the Three Stooges, and sort of serialized television-y, you know, and the Hour Gang and all that stuff. There's that. So there's a little bit of that, but it seems like this is the first, like, legitimate franchise... And it's higher end than something than most of the stuff that followed it that made it to five.
The Killing Pool, and the first one was just his fucking name.
What are you talking about?
Talking about Paul Newman as.
There were two of those, right?
Right.
Yeah,
the first one was in the '60s.
I'd like to see both of those.
What was the name of the detective?
I don't remember. It wasn't Marlowe. Marlowe, that character appeared in a lot of different movies, but they were always played by different actors, so it was kind of a little less connected.
James Bond.
That's
an obvious one.
That's true. Their Bond beats that. Bond might beat everything, then, for being like the...
Yeah, Bond was 60. First one was 61, 62.
Are you sure? It might be 50-something.
No, it was 60s.
Okay.
Dr. No was early 60s.
Anyway, and like you said, like a lot of side characters are recurring throughout the story, which is good. You know, you get Fatso, you get DiGiorgio or whatever, one of the other cops.
DiGiorgio,
and I mean, I like the way that the plot of this breaks down, and that you get these young guys, these young rookie cops that are all like really good shots, and they're coming out of the Army Rangers, and you know. They never really get into backstory yet on Callahan or and like what his experience is before being a police officer, you know, like was he a Korean War guy or where did he come from? What's his background, you know? Was his dad also a cop? Is he coming from a long line of these things?
He doesn't like to talk about himself.
I would imagine that he wouldn't, but you know, you think usually that's why you
he's a traditional tough guy.
You force that stuff in when, you know, like the captain's yelling at him or something. He's like, damn it, Callahan, you know, whatever, blah blah blah. Anyway, what do you think? You like this one?
Oh, absolutely. I own it.
Yeah, I know. But do you like it better than the first one?
In my opinion, they're two different movies.
Really? Well, I know they're different movies, but like, are they...
The first one's the only one that really takes itself seriously, in my opinion. But there are a lot of
this fun. One still seems to take itself pretty seriously. I mean, all that stuff about vigilantism and people being murdered and like his friend gets killed. There's a little bit of comedy in the way he talks and the way he acts, but that was also in the first one. And I mean, the motorcycle thing at the end is kind of ridiculous. But other than that, it's like it's kind of just as seriously. I mean, I don't know. There's more shootout stuff and there's a car chase and stuff, so it's a little more of a movie. But I don't see it ever sort of...
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Other than the beginning, I don't see it ever really winking at the camera and saying, hey, it's a Dirty Harry movie. Now, I'd imagine that, yeah, at a certain point when you get into like the fourth and fifth one, I'd imagine it starts to probably do that, but...
Not terrible. They're all fun. They're all great.
Well, I'm not saying they're not fun. I'm just saying, like, I don't agree that... Like if someone asked me, like, what's your favorite Alien movie, Alien or Aliens or Alien 3,
rule out 4 altogether.
Well, that doesn't exist as far as I know. I don't know anything about an Alien 4 movie being made. If it's being made, that might be interesting. Maybe I'll be excited to see that. But as far as I know, it doesn't exist. But like Alien,
hasn't she been hurt enough?
Alien.
Save Winona, man.
Yeah, I know. Alien is like a suspense movie. It's got a different style, and Aliens is like an action movie. So they are definitely very different. I don't think that the first Dirty Harry movie and the second one are really all that different.
They're not as different as Alien and Aliens, but look at.
I mean,
there's 2 years difference between this.
Yeah.
There was 7 year difference between Alien.
I know.
And Aliens.
I know, and so because of that, or not even because of that, but I think. they can be judged pretty much on the same level, to the point where you can say you
like both
one
good movies.
I could say you could like one better than the other and not be like, oh, I can't compare.
I wouldn't say that I liked one better than the other. I'm just saying that, in my opinion, the first movie took itself more seriously.
I would agree. But I don't know. All the shots in the dark and stuff, some of that stuff was a little... I don't know. I guess I just wanted to see the stuff happening. And in the dark, it was like you couldn't really see as much. And you didn't get a little... You got a little more fleshing out with Harry. At the very least, you didn't get him ever like crying and saying, you know, the reason I'm this way is because blah, blah, blah. You know,
he's a tough guy. Dinosaur.
But you'd get, you know, things like his interaction with his friends, kids, and stuff like that. And that those sorts of things helped to humanize him and kind of give him a little more dimensionality as a character. And I liked that. And I liked the soundtrack was great. And, you know, you have an awesome car chase. And that ending sequence on the old aircraft carrier... It's just such a great setting for a thing like that to happen. And all those locales. And you really get to feature the locations. And the city of San Francisco comes alive a little more in the second movie than it did in the first. In the first, it could have been L.A. pretty much for all practical purposes. It really... Well, I mean, I'm just saying it like it didn't really matter that it was San Francisco. There was no crazy hilly car chase. And there was no... capitalizing on the bay necessarily. It was kind of just like it was a city. The
third one totally does that because
I'm sure
because they hit Alcatraz.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. I'd have to say that I like this one better than the first one.
Okay.
But not by a huge amount. I gave the first one 4. I think I'd probably still have to give this one 4 because I don't think I want to give
4.5.
I don't think I want to give it 4.5.
That's good because it doesn't deserve 4.5.
Yeah, I don't think it does, but I think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the other one deserves 3.5. Then
I'd give this a 3.5. You actually got me doing the halves now because I can't give it a 3.
Well, you know, that's plenty of.
I'm not going to rate it as high as the first one.
Okay, I'd rate it a little higher, and that's but not. I guess I'd give it the same thing. I'd give it 4, just the same as the first one. But
the first one I would call more of it's a little more suspense. This movie is more of an action movie. That's, I guess is how I'd look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's more action in this movie is the only reason for that. I mean, there's... the other one is only suspenseful because there's more breaks between action. But
oh, shit.
But a lot more stuff happens in this one. There's certainly flaws in this one. The scene about the hijacking could have just been completely omitted and it would have saved them 15 minutes of time. It would have shortened the movie. Because it was not really... I mean, it was another sort of like, see Harry be a badass, and that's cool.
Well,
and
it becomes a theme.
Yeah.
You always have Harry doing one or two foiling, like a bank robbery or blowing something up, something like along those lines, or a chase.
Yeah, so this is the second one then, yeah.
And they'll do that every time.
The guy that was going to commit suicide in the first
one. It's usually when you get the catchphrase, which the only one you really get in this movie is... A man's got to know his limitations, which is awesome.
Uh-huh.
But in the third one, I can't remember what it was in the third one.
We'll see it and we'll know and we'll tell.
4 and 5 I can remember, and I'm going to spoil 5 because it's so awesome. The guy with the fucking fortune cookie.
Uh-huh.
It says, you're shit out of luck.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff. Wow. With a harpoon gun, Jesus.
I know.
That was the one with Patricia Clarkson.
Okay.
And I thought it was cool now that she's Miss fucking Indie Queen, even though she's got to be closing in. It's got to be like 45 in her late 40s.
Probably.
That she did that interview and talked about how people still always recognize her from the Deadpool.
Well, yeah.
Even though she's done
I'd imagine that like everyone that was involved in these movies are probably pretty... proud of it and cool about it.
The station agent and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually wasn't a bad movie. But
I would say I'm liking where it's going at this point. Like, I'm completely...
You're gonna like the where it takes you.
I'm completely inexperienced. I've seen... it's untrue. I had seen a large portion of the first one on television, and I've actually seen probably the most of any of them I've seen. I've probably seen the most of the third one's one with Tyne Daly.
Right.
I've probably seen the most of that one on TV, but it was a long time ago, and I really don't remember much about
it. I can't believe you see all these movies on television. Well, because, especially as a child, because you miss the fucks and the shits and all that wonderful. And no tits.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably cut out some of the gore and the violence, depending.
Oh, well, sure.
It
usually it's
basically
Dirty Harry
movies.
It's usually tit related gore, so I mean, you know, you have to cut it out.
Oh, like the chick that flew out the window.
I like that she flew out and then she hit something. I love seeing impacts
that are
incidental when she falls. Yeah, she hit like a railing on like the third story.
In the beginning of Suzanne Summers' illustrious career that led to. She's the sheriff and worked with Patrick Duffy, another industry heavyweight.
Of course. So, this is us signing off for Feudal Podcast. Check out Magnum Force, but only after you've watched Callahan Part 1. Though, to be perfectly honest, you don't need to have really seen the first one.
No, you don't.
And I don't know if that's true for all the other movies, if they're kind of all very standalone, and you can just step
standalone.
You can kind of step right into them and know, oh, stuff's happened before, but it's not really been too much of an effect. Which is good but bad.
You'll miss some things if you haven't seen the previous ones.
Yeah. Once again, you want to get a hold of us, check us on iTunes, Futile Podcast. I think it's just one word or two. Search Futile Podcast on the iTunes store.
It's not hyphenated.
I don't think it's hyphenated. That ain't no cop gun, Frank.